Okay, we are up to Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek Tezayin, the 16th Perek out of 66, and we continue with the second Perek relating to Moav, prophecies of Moav. We had two prophecies, the past couple of Prakim, two prophecies related to the first foreign country, Bavel and Nebuchadnezzar, and the next two Bavel, next two Moav now, and then we'll get into other countries as well. So we continue talking about Moav, who we learned has cropped up throughout history, attacking and causing problems for Am Yisrael. They are located east of the Yarden. So the previous parak was about the destruction and what will befall them at the hands of Sancheriv, as we described, the king of Asher. This has nothing to do with us. They will be subject to the whims and be the victims of Sancheriv. The Malbim introduces this parak as saying, and if you want to get out of it, if you want to save yourself, that this is what you have to do. That's what the Malbim says is the title of this parak. Achar shenasa chezyono alma palas Moav, bal yatzam echinatzlu. Now I'm going to tell you how to save yourself. V'amar she'en lem hatzala rak. You have to do something. So there are different pshatim what this means. Most assume the Rashi and the Radak will see the psukim. It means that you have to be nice to Am Yisrael and you have to give them safe haven. And when they're in trouble, you have to show them kindness. Right? Exactly what they didn't do, as we saw in the last parak, they were kfuye tova, as the Ramban talks about in but that's how the Rashi and the Radak understand it. We'll get to the Psukim, but the Malbim has a different, totally different understanding of a number of Psukim in this Perek, where he says, the way that you have to do it is for you to yourself go and lower yourself to Am Yisrael and become friendly with them and say, please help us to lower yourself. When Sancheriv is attacking you, go to them, and if you do that, they will help you. Rak l'shloach shliach l'bnei Yerushalayim ulevakesh me'itam sheitnu lahem cheirus lagur ulehistater be'eretz Yehuda. And they will have rachmanis on you. V'hanavi mavticham. Yeshayahu is saying that we promise, ki b'nei Yehuda yirachamu aleihem v'yemalu bakashatam aval ro'eh. But as we'll see in the perek, that Moav, he foresees that Moav will never do this. Moav is going to admit that they need the Jews. Moav is going to admit that they're so weak, but in their gaiva, in their arrogance, eino rotzel hashpil atzmo levakesh hatzalah mibnei Yehuda, you'll never do it, and therefore they should just know that it's their own fault. Heim ashemim ba'atzmam umireh mira'ah el ra'ah yatzo. Zeu toref ha'masa bechlal. That is the message of this parak, says the Malbim, and now we go into the parak itself. So the parak starts off, shilchu kar moshel eretz misela ha'midbara. What does that mean? Send some type of kar. Kar here means, according to the Rishonim, Rashi, and the Radak, it means a present of animals. Moshel Eretz, the head, your king should send Misela Midbara, which is a place in Moab, El Har Bar Zion. Send it to the base of Migdash, send it to Yerushalayim. Right, what does that mean? What's going on here? So for this, Rashi says, we have to remember a story back in Sefer Malachim, that in the days of Achav, Malachim Beis Perek Gimel, in the days of Achav, Moav paid a tribute, paid a tax to Malchus, to the Jews, to Am Yisrael, right? They sent them animals, they sent them other things, and after Achav died, though, they stopped paying the tribute. That's what the Navi describes. Umesha Melach Moav, this is Perek Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, in Malachim. Umesha Perek Gimel Pasuk Dalet. Yes. Umesha Malach Moav Hayin Nokeid VeHeshiv Malach Yisrael Meya Elef Karim Umeya Elef Elim Semer. Thousands of animals he used to send, sheep and rams. VaYi Kamos Achav. When Achav died, Achav, this is Malach Yisrael. VaYivsha Malach Moav BeMalach Yisrael. He stopped. He rebelled against him. And Yehoram went, and he said, what's going on here? Yehoram, who was the son of Achav, sends to Yehoshaphat, Malchus, the descendant of David HaMelech, you want to help me out here? Incredulously, they were not on speaking terms. They were Baalei Avera. Yehoshaphat was righteous. You want to help me out? He says, yes, let's go fight Moav together. And they go fight Moav. He says, Yehoshaphat even has a very strong lashon. Kamoni kamocha, kaami kamecha, kisusai kisusecha. We're brothers. We can attack Moav together. Right? That's what he emphasizes. And they go and they run out of water. Then the Perek describes, you remember this amazing story, they find Elisha, and Elisha says to them, what's going on? They said, well, we're ready to attack Moab. And Elisha says, well, Yehoshaphat, you're the only one I'm going to talk to, because if you weren't here, I wouldn't talk to the other one. I wouldn't talk to Yehoram, the son of Ahab, the Rasha. And they had Edom, the king of Edom, also there helping them fight. And Elisha says, don't worry about it. Hashem's going to help you defeat Moab, which they did. They defeated Moab. Hashem made there be water, and it looked like with the sun's rays, made it look red. Moab thought that they were all dead, so they came in without being prepared. And Am Yisrael was all able to defeat Moab. But that's what's being referred to here. That in the days of old, in the days of Ahav, they paid tribute and they sent a lot of things to Am Yisrael. Says Yeshayo, you wanna get back, you wanna save yourself? Start paying that tribute again. Being connected and united with Am Yisrael, that will pay you, right? You're getting punished for what you did, and the Kfuyei Tova, Avraham Avinu did so much for you and for Lod and for your ancestors, you know, you have to start showing them that you are connected to them. The Das Sofrim here says, it's obviously not the animals. Bnei Yisrael don't need the animals. It's the unification and the connection to Am Yisrael, which Yeshayo is recommending. Avaloa Kesef hu Mataras Hanavi, says the Das Sofrim, Ela Hahakara Shel Moavim Bigduas Yisrael, V'chein Sheyedu Shelo Asu Lahem Yisrael Avel, Bima Shelachu Mehem. Right, we're not evil, but you're paying tribute. It's just that Ratzon Hashem sheyu haMoavim mitzurafim liYisrael. The kiblu hadracha binyanei chayeim. Go be connected to them. You can learn from them. You can be inspired by their mikdash. That's what I need you to do. That's what the tribute is about. But obviously, they weren't going to listen. But this is how the parak starts off. You know, send a message to Har Bat Zion. We'll get back to Bat Zion. Let's just first do a little more. Vahaya kaofno deid ken mishulach. When you will be defeated, Yeshayo describes, you will be like a bird without a home. A bird that's, whose nest is no longer there. Imagine a bird going back to his nest and it's not there. He doesn't know where to go. Right? Rahman al-Assad, somebody's house is destroyed. They go back, they don't know where to go. Right? So you'll be lost. Tiena benos moav ma baros la'arnon. Right? The women will just be on the walkways and the roads. Hey, ha-vi'i, and what does this pasuk mean? As we explain, Rashi, the Radak, and others say, this is part of the tikkun. Yeshayo is saying, when Bnei Yisrael are being sent into Galus, when the northern tribes are going into Galus, give them a home, give them protection. In that way, you'll be able to save yourself. Havi Eitza Asi Plila, do justice. Shisi Kalayil Tzilech Betok Tzarayim. Make it dark during the day. What does that mean? The Radak explains. Bnei Yisrael are going to be running away during the day from Sancheriv, from other enemies. Give them protection. Make it dark for them. Satri Nidachim. Those who are Nidach, those who are pushed aside, cover up. No Dei Dal Tegali. Help Am Yisrael when they are on the run. In that way, you will be able to protect yourself. Right? Rashi says, this is referring to the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Rashi says, Im yivruchu od nitchei ami, derach aleichem imei Nebuchadnezzar, in the days in the future, when the Jews run away from Nebuchadnezzar, al taskireim el atastireim. Protect them and hide them, and in that way, you will be able to protect yourself. The Radak says it's something, it's not going on in the future, it's going on in the past, that you should have protected them, but either way, that is the simple understanding. But if you look in the Malbim, as I said, he gives a totally opposite shot of this pasuk. It doesn't mean that when Bnei Yisrael are on the run, you should give them protection, but Yeshayo is saying, go to Bnei Yisrael. They will protect you. They will be nice to you. And the Malbim describes that when one nation runs to another nation for help against an enemy, there are really three situations that might be true. Number one might be the nation that's running away, they might be able to handle the attacking nation. They just need some strategy. So they'll go to nation two just to ask for some strategy. Or maybe they're not strong enough, and they're asking the other nation to fight for them, number two. Or maybe both nations realize that the enemy is too strong for both of them. So really, just hide me. Let me hide in your houses, in your barns, and in that way I'll be protected. Says the Malbim, those are the three. This is a classic Malbim, right? Those are the three phrases in the pasuk referring to three different situations. Haviyu Eitza. Number one, Eitza means advice. Maybe you're strong enough, you just go get advice from them. Asu Palila. Do justice. What does that mean? If you're not strong enough, the Jews will fight for you. They'll do justice and fight your enemy. And if that also is not the situation, if it's the third situation, that you just want protection, shisi kalayel tzilech betok tzarayim. They'll cover you up even during the day, they'll make it dark. Says the Malbim, this pasuk is telling Moav, Moav, please lower yourself and make yourself friendly with Am Yisrael. And in that way, you'll be able to protect yourself from Sancheref. But it is not done. The pasuk continues, Yaguru bach nidachai, right? The ones that are running away and pushed aside, this is still continuing the previous pasuk, shall live with you, Moav, have a seter lamo, mevnei shodeid, give them protection, ki afas hameitz kala shod, tamu romes ben haaretz. The enemy can be gone, Sancheriv can be gone, right, referring to when he was destroyed, if you would only do that. But that didn't happen. Let's continue. Actually, just to go back one point. The language that's used here to send to Yerushalayim is Bat Zion. There are many words used in Tanakh for Yerushalayim and for the Beis HaMikdash, right? Bat Zion is one of them. Ki Mitzion Teitze Torah, we had earlier in Yeshayo, Parak Gimel or so, Parak Beis Gimel, Ki Mitzion Teitze Torah, Dvar Hashem, Yerushalayim, right? In the same pasuk, you have Tzion and Yerushalayim. Here, Bat Zion means Ariel in other psukim, also means Yerushalayim. Sometimes the Beis HaMikdash itself has different names. Har HaMoria, Har Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaBechira. Rav Soloveitchik has a beautiful essay in Kovetz Chidushei Torah, where he discusses the difference between Beis HaMikdash and Beis HaBechira. He discusses, the Gemara says, that David HaMelech sanctified the Beis HaMikdash. The question is, no, he didn't. He didn't even build the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech sanctified the Beis HaMikdash. So how can you say David did it? Question one. Question two, Rav Soloveitchik deals with the fact that there are two different psukim quoted in different sources. Sometimes the Rambam quotes the mitzvah of Va'asu li Mikdash, the pasuk of Parshas Truma. Sometimes he quotes the pasuk in Re'eh, L'shichno Sidrashu Uvasa Shama. Why does he sometimes quote one, sometimes quote the other? Without going into all the details, Rav Soloveitchik develops the idea that there are two concepts, Beis HaMikdash and Beis HaBechira. Beis HaMikdash, that is the physical building, that could be anywhere. Even the Mishkan could be a Beis HaMikdash. Even in Shiloh could be a Mikdash, a sanctified house. Beis HaBechira is only one place. The chosen house, that's only the real Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And that Kedusha could be earlier and later. David HaMelech sanctified the Beis HaBechira, even though it wasn't there yet. Because once he bought the land, he imbued this area with Kedusha. That's Beis HaBechira, Nivchar, Mikdash, that's Shlomo HaMelech. And that was only later. But even now, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, the status of Bechira is still there. And that's why there's still Kedusha there. Right? There's different elements. There's a lot of rias to this. There might be an Isser Bamos, he goes Tosfos in Megillah, the Isser of sacrificing anywhere, even if you say the Kedusha is not Kedushal Asalavo. Again, an important sugya. But there could be a status that is still. So again, that relates to this idea that there are many different names, which all reflect something different about Yerushalayim. Here in our parak, we have the name of Tzion. We continue now. Says Yeshayo, Vehuchan Bachesed Kisei. I'm telling you, Moav, you know, go be nice to Am Yisrael. The Kisei, his throne of Chesed has been established. Who is this referring to? This is referring to Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu's throne, right, after Sancheriv is going to wipe you out, Moav. But if you listen to what I'm saying and you give them refuge beforehand and you become friendly, Chizkiyahu is going to be strong afterwards. Sancheriv's army is going to be wiped out in one night, 185,000. I've already given that nevuah. His throne will be strengthened. The Yashav Alav Be'emes. And he will sit on it in truth. Ba'ohel David, right? As a descendant of David HaMelech. Shofet Vidoresh Mishpat U'mihir Tzedek. He will be a righteous judge. He will be Mihir Tzedek. Quick in getting justice. That does not mean quick in judging. Right? The first mission in Perkei Avos. Having mitunim badin. You have to be very, quick in getting to the judgment, but when you are actually judging, you have to be patient, you have to be calm, and try to listen to all of the details. Also, Chizkiyahu describes at the, elsewhere, in Divrei Hayamim, in Perek Bay, Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Lamed, the entire story of Yehoshaphat, and then eventually Chizkiyahu is described. We're not going to go into it now, but Rashi quotes part of it in Pasuk Hey. Kishiyo alecha hashever azeh, when you are destroyed, az yikon kisei David v'yigdal. The David HaMelech's family is going to be raised up. Sheba oso aperek yipol sancherev al yidei Chizkiyahu. That's exactly when you fall, sancherev is going to be destroyed, so it can only benefit you. Says Yishayo to Moav, as the Malbim introduced this perek, but Pasuk Vav says, I know you're not going to listen. For one good reason. Shamanu Gaon Moav Geim Ma'od. The arrogance of Moav is off the charts. I'm going to lower myself, right? Either I'm going to lower myself to let the Jews come and find refuge with me. You think I'm going to lower myself, these dirty Jews? And let's remember, this is not just a one time in history when country did not let Jews in when they were running away from attackers. We don't have to look too far back in history when almost the entire world closed its borders to letting Jews happen, come to their borders. And even sometimes when ships got there, they turned them back, Rahman al-Islam, and sent them back to their deaths. That started with Moab. Moab was the first that did not allow refugees coming from other enemies to come. But it's an arrogance. And same thing with the Malbim shot, right? I'm going to lower myself to say that I need them, that I'm going to try to find refuge with them? No way. Gaon Moav Gei Ma'od Ga'avaso Ugeono Ve'evraso Lokein Badav. Right? Their arrogance, their anger, Lokein Badav, it doesn't come from a true spot. The Mitzvah David says the word Badav is from the word Badui, false. They're all false. They have this gaiva, but it's really hiding something that is, they have nothing to have gaiva about. They have nothing to hold themselves high. It's interesting, in this pasuk, anger and gaiva and arrogance are put together. Go'ono ve'evrato. Right, they're put together. And that's common, because when somebody is arrogant, so then they could get angry easily because they feel that they're in the middle of the world and everything is for them. That's the Rambam that has been mentioned often. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos. Though the Rambam says that in every midah in life, we have to go down the middle path, the Shvil Azav. The Rambam says, in Hilchos Deos, Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, there are two exceptions to the rule. V'yesh Deos Sha'asir Lo La'adam Linhog Behen Bebeinonis Ela Yisrachik Ad HaKatzeho Acher. You got to go to the extreme. Which two? V'hu Gova Halev, arrogance. She'ein Aderach HaTova She'yih Adam Anav Bilvad Ela She'yesh Shafel Ruach V'tei Rucha Nemucha L'Maod. Right, that's why it says like Moshe Rabbeinu, Anav Ma'od, and not just Anav Bilvad. And the Chazal say Ma'od Bo'od HaVishval Ruach, fine. And then the Rambam in the same halacha says, V'chein Haka'as, Deya Rahi Ad Lima'od, V'roi La'adam She'yisrachik Mimena Ad HaKatzeho Acher. So maybe the Rambam got it from, and is alluding to it based on our Pasuk. Because our Pasuk puts anger and arrogance together in Moav. Ga'ono Ve'evratolo Kein Badav. There is a fascinating question based on all of this, that Moav is about arrogance and they hold themselves higher. So how did David HaMelech come from Moav? Amoni velo Amonit, Moavi velo Moavit, Rus HaMoavia. David's great-great-grandmother was Rus. So why did Hashem have it that way? You would think that David HaMelech would have the most pristine lineage, right? This is Melech HaMashiach, and yet, this is part of a larger question, but where does it start from? Yehuda and Tamar, Lot and his daughters, David and Bathsheba, right? Rus, right? All of this, there's a pattern of murkiness when it comes to the lineage of David HaMelech. It's really the topic of a separate shiur, which we're not going to have right now, but just one thought, specifically why Moav? Why was that needed? Many Mefarshim point out, based on the Gemara, but the Sefer Yikarim writes that David HaMelech and Shaul HaMelech both sinned. Right, we know they weren't perfect. Shaul had Averis and David had Averis. Why did Shaul lose his Malchus over his Averis? And David did not lose his Malchus. Answer, David's Averis were personal. They were personal. Taiva, right, you made a mistake, you counted. Shaul's Averis were national. Right, national meaning, they had to do with his Malchus and not being a good king. His Averis at root were, he listened to the Am, he didn't rule over the Am. Right, and that was the problem with Shaul. David did his own thing. David danced when everybody else wasn't dancing. David was an anav. He said, don't do something. When everybody else said to kill Shaul, he wouldn't. David was his own man. He wasn't influenced by the Am. Where did he get this from? Explains the Shemi Shmuel that the Chaim Yaakov Goldwicht has a ma'amar in the Sefer Zichron Harav. It was put out for Rav Soloveitchik a number of years ago. He quotes a part of the Shemi Shmuel from Shvuas Tavreish Ayin. He says, "De'inin hamalucha lo haya nimsa biYisrael." To be a good king is not naturally Jewish, meaning Jews don't rule over Jews. That's not natural. David HaMelech needed to rule over fellow Jews to be a good king. Suggests the Shemi Shmuel, amazingly, that is why he needed a little Moabite blood in him. A little bit, right? Because it says here, Moab is gaiva. Moab holds themselves higher. David, part of his being a successful king, was that he had a little Moabite blood in him. Unbelievable. Rav Goldach explains, Ki ba'asher kol Yisrael ki ish echad heima, eino shayach she'echad yistarrero chaveiro, kemo she'eino eiver ha'echad sheba'adam yistarrero le'av eiver acher. My right hand doesn't rule over my left hand. Moshe Rabbeinu, right, he had the din of a melech, who machmashu nivdal machlal Yisrael. He was different. V'lachein hutzruchu Yisrael litol hamalucha me'amonu Moav. Mishum deklipas Moav geus. Right, as the quotes to our pasuk, Kamo Shamar, Shamanu Gaon Moav Gei Ma'od. V'yalkein, that's why David HaMelech, part of what made him a successful king, he had a little bit of Moav, a little Rus in him, and in that way, that's why he was special. So this is Gaiva in the bad sense, but for our purposes, we have a little bit that we were able to take with us, Litova. Continuing, the Yeshayahu still also continues to describe cities of Moab that were going to be decimated and desolate. Kishadmos, Cheshbon, Umlal, Pasaches, Geffen, Sivma, Ba'ali, Goyim, Halmushru, Kehel, the vineyards and the lands will all be laid waste. Ad Yazer, Nago, Tob, Midbar. Interesting to look at the names in of the cities. Yazer, Sivma, these are all mentioned in Sefer Bamidbar as going to Reuven, Gad, and Menashe. Meaning, as Rabbi Schwab pointed out yesterday, that Emori conquered it from Moab, so that's why Bnei Yisrael were able to conquer it from the Emori and give it to Reuven, Gad, and Menashe. When the first gullus of Bnei Yisrael went out from Reuven, Gad, and Menashe, Moab went and resettled those cities, and that's why they were here now, and then they were going to be destroyed. And the city and the psukim continue how they were going to be destroyed towards the end. Pasuk Tes, Al Ketzech, Al Kitzirech, Hedad Nafal. Hedad is usually exclamation of happiness, Hedad, but they're Nafal. The Hedad, the exclamations are going to fall because all of your harvest and all of your cuttings and shearings are going to be destroyed. V'ne'asaf Simcha v'agil min ha'karmel. Simcha, happiness will be removed. I gave you the choice, Yeshayahu was saying in the name of Hashem, but you didn't listen. It's all your fault. Alkein me'ai la'moav. My intestines are to Moav. Reb Schwab says that's like a lashon of my heart goes out to them. Right, my heart goes out. You know, they could have done better. Kakinor yehemu, they'll be shaking like a kinor. The kirbi lekir chares, right? It's so upsetting. Rabbi Schwab here points out why Dafka is he so upset about Moav. We don't have the parallel psukim by Bavel. Why Dafka Moav? Explains Rabbi Schwab, giving its historical attachment to the Jewish people and the proximity of its land to Eretz Yisrael, the hope was that Moav would be the first of the nations of the world to see the truth and accept. Right, we're supposed to be in Arla Goyim. We were hoping, historically, that Moab will be the first. They're close to us. They're related to us. Avram Avinu helped them out. So we would think they will be the first to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reign. But instead, this nation became a bitter enemy of the Jewish people and caused them a deal of harm. The nation from whom the Jewish kings, as we just explained, and Mashiach descend, could have been a great ally to the Jewish people, but instead it turned into a bitter enemy, and this ultimately caused its destruction. It's their own fault, as the Malbim also started off our parak saying. And the parak just ends off, Zeh adavar shadibar Hashem al Moav me'az. This is what Hashem has told about Moav me'az. Me'az sounds like from a long time ago. So one of the Mefarshim say, even from the times of Balak and Bilam. Right, Parshas Balak already says this. And also not even, maybe even earlier. What did Hashem tell Avram Avinu? U'mekalelcha a'or. Whoever curses you, I'm going to curse and take care of. Who cursed us? Midian and Moab. So this is a fulfillment of that promise going way back to Avram Avinu. And now he finally gives a time period. V'ata diber Hashem le'mar b'shalosh shanim. In 3 years from now, says Yeshayahu, this will take place. Kishnei Sachir, like a worker works. A worker works for 3 years, he doesn't work a day extra, right? This is my time period, and that's it. 3 years from today, says Yeshayahu, V'nikla kvod Moav, b'chole amon harav, Moav is going to be totally, the honor is going to be wiped out, u'sha'ar ma'at mis'ar lo kabir. And there will only be a very little bit that remain, all very weak. This takes us through Moav, and we will stop here.